This is the Radio Ronin Show on Podbash.com.
Everyone all neat and pretty, away we go.
Can you start every show that way?
That's Mickey Mouse. That's how he started the Mickey Mouse Club.
Really?
Everybody all neat and pretty, here we go. Or he'd say, away we go, or something like that.
So now it's trademarked.
Yeah.
So
I think I've done some sort of infringement. Yeah, you don't want them coming after
you. No.
Hey, hello. Welcome to the Radio Ronin Show, everyone. Another week, another fantastic episode of the Radio Ronin program is underway. I am Jimmy Chunga. Hey. So with me is always the lovely, the talented Mr. Kenny D. He's right there.
Why? Because we love you.
Like you. It was the 50s. So, and then we have the smartest man in the room right over here, Mr. DJ Spinari.
I'm so confused.
Wait, you're confused about that?
Yeah, what was that?
It's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Oh, is it
well,
really?
There was a, yeah,
you're, not really.
The what, poor kid is too young. It was the Mickey Mouse Club.
Okay.
The Mickey Mouse Club, and they would sing the song, M-I-C, see you real soon, K-E-Y. Why? Because we like you.
Oh, it was like?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
M-O-U-S-C.
I mean, it was really clever how they wrote that song for the era.
So the theme song for Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog, hot dog, hot dog, all problems solved.
That's an odd choice for... that's the theme for the new Mickey Mouse house?
It's the cartoon. I watch it a lot with my kids, so yeah.
I see.
That's what happens.
I see back in the day with him, it was Roly Poly Oly, and
there
were all kinds of those fun.
Please don't say Caillou.
Caillou's a whiny bitch. I couldn't handle that Caillou.
There's a quotable quote right there.
That was too much.
Nobody likes Caillou.
Nobody. I want to cyberbully Caillou. I want to find out what he's doing nowadays. I hated that thing.
He's like Charlie Brown, but a serial killer.
He's like a European Charlie Brown.
Yes.
Is what he is.
Oh, I hate that kid.
I'm with it. But you know what? We did notice something very weird. Spinari and I found Steve from Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
All grown up.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like Moby.
He looks like Moby. And he lives in Greenwich Village and he skips to work.
Yeah.
He doesn't skip to work.
No, I just made that part up. But he looks like Moby, which is very unusual to me.
And also he has a band, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I think he does.
I looked at him. I went, nope. So much nope.
Do you know what I love? It's like every 3 years, like Yahoo News is like, did you know that Steve from Blue's Clues never died? And that's like, for me, because I looked into all these TV shows, because like I said, I watch them all with my kid.
Right.
Uh-huh. I'm like, yeah, I knew that. He was just going bald. That's why he left the show, because he was going bald.
Oh, that's why he left the show, because he was going bald.
Yeah, he said, I'm getting too old for this. I can't be bald and doing the show.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Because then it's just creepy. Right?
Is it creepy?
Yeah, he's wearing that weird striped shirt, and he's hanging out with Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper, and he's bald.
Here's the mail, it never fails.
Yeah.
It
makes me want to whack my tail.
Yeah.
That's just mail. Not right.
I love that
Pretty
voice.
Weird. I like the adult Steve.
Here's the mail.
Sit in your thinking chair.
You gotta find another paw print. That's the second clue. You put it all together, and that's whose clues? Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
Thank you. Kenny D. Thank you.
Yep. Kenny D. Well done.
There, you know, there's all these. It seems like every generation there is a rumor about a child star that goes on to be like somebody famous or they die.
So, for example,
it's like the kid from Small Wonder was Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins.
He was.
No, he wasn't.
He was.
No, he was not.
I have seen Smashing Pumpkins in concert, and I'm 92% sure that was the kid from Small Wonder.
No.
Jamie.
I know Billy Corgan. I've asked him, and he's like, where did this come from? He's completely baffled
by it.
It
comes from his face.
He's like, I don't know where this came from.
This kid. He had like the Webster disease where he never quite grew up.
And then there was Jimmy from H.R. Puffin Stuff, who everybody said was Boy George growing up.
Nobody remembers H.R. Puffin Stuff.
And then you had Marilyn Manson was the kid on Mr. Belvedere.
No, he was from Wonder Years.
Wesley.
No, he wasn't Wesley. He was Paul from Wonder Years.
Wesley.
He wasn't Wesley.
Take off those Hot Topic pants. Wesley.
Is that what he was, Paul from Wonder Years?
Yeah, he was.
I thought it was Mr. Belvedere.
It could have been.
I don't know. So anyway, there's always that thing. And so the latest one is Steve from Blue's Clues.
He's not dead, by the way.
I have so much fun with those.
He just looks like Moby.
Or the bass player from OK Go.
Wait, what?
He looks like the bass player from OK Go.
A little bit.
Is he the bass player from OK Go?
He might. Oh. Let's start a new rumor.
Let's do it.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
I think we can all appreciate OK Go as music video artists, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, their music, so-so, right?
They had a really solid debut album. I really liked their debut album.
So did I.
It was wonderful. And then they did that treadmill thing, which came on their second album.
Still a good album.
I mean, it was okay. Yeah, right. It was all right. They got more focused on the Rube Goldberg stuff that they were doing, and then the music just didn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but they are like the only people trying with music videos now.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very true.
So who's the lead singer in that band? Because I can never tell.
I don't know.
Because video they're all singing, I'm like, well, clearly there's like these three tall white dudes with Como, you know, I mean, like
all they are now, like, they're basically like a progressive dance troupe, like Ryrie Woodbury. I'm just waiting for him to come out in Bubbles.
You and these references tonight.
I know, nobody got that. I'm sorry.
So it's not the bald guy. The bald guy is not the singer.
No, he is a singer.
He's the bassist, though.
Yeah.
So they all sing?
It's kind of like Kiss. They were kind of like Kiss, because remember, Kiss, everybody sang.
Oh, you're right.
In Kiss. You had Paul Stanley, who sang the most, but everybody sang.
Gene Simmons didn't sing the most?
No. Paul Stanley sang the most.
What? What about Ace Frehley?
He sang a lot when he was sober.
It wasn't.
He was my favorite member of Kiss, by the way.
How could you tell? Well, I guess one had the star eye. The other had he was the cat.
You're just way too young. That's Peter Criss. You're way too young. Look, I'm a lieutenant in the Kiss Army, all right? When I saw Kiss on the Paul Lind Halloween special with Donnie and Marie and Ruth Buzzy, and there was a whole bunch of people. Betty White was on the Paul Lind Halloween.
No way.
Yeah, and that's when I saw Kiss for the very first time, and Paul Lind was like, let's kiss and make up. And I was like, who is this? And my life was changed forever.
Templeton himself.
Yeah, Paul Lind. The Paul Lind Halloween special was huge.
Donnie and Marie were on stage with the Knights in Satan's Service?
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
That's it.
Wow.
It was something to behold. That was my very first album I ever bought, was a Kiss album.
That's a great album to buy.
Yeah.
Were they actually good, or were they just a stage presence?
No, they were good. Their Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day is one of the all-time greatest rock songs ever recorded.
You mean and part of every day? Rock and Roll All Night and part of every day?
And part of every day.
Right? That's how it goes, right?
That's how everybody sings it. No, anyway, so I don't even know how we got off on that, but...
you got to find another paw print. That's the third clue.
Oh, that's what happened. That's right.
Periwinkle.
That's so weird.
Get the hell out here.
Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper were my favorite.
Why?
Because it was just so strange.
Didn't they have a kid, Paprika?
They didn't have a Paprika. Was the kid, the baby. Baby Paprika.
Yeah.
How does salt and pepper make paprika? Okay, that's a question for the ages.
It usually involves some alcohol. Some berry white. Anyway, listen, we need to give an update. I've had the weirdest week. Oh, my gosh, I've had the weirdest week.
What's going on?
It's been absolutely terrible.
Huh?
Terrible.
Stop it. Why?
I mean, this is just the most horrible week. Well, because I had the nerve. I had the gumption. The gall, if you will, to say, hey, stop being an asshole when you text me.
Oh, yeah.
I had to, you know, so I've had hundreds of people go, yeah, I was listening to this. And so I went through and I checked my texts. Like every single person that heard it was like, well, I know it's not me. And I said, no, listen, very clearly, it's not Kenny. It's not Spinari. It's not Laura Hicks. If it's not you, it's not Tim Hemingway. It's everybody else.
Wait, so people said, I looked at our conversation and I think I'm nice. Is that what happened?
No, it was, oh, dude, it's me.
Oh, no. Oh, people
so then I had
to
say,
it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I had Josh Hanson. It was Josh Hanson. I had Castle.
Castle. You're naming people now?
Hey, Sean Anders. You know how much I love Sean Anders. Sean Anders is one of my favorite people I'll ever meet in my life. Occasionally, it's Sean Anders. But he sends a lot of random stuff. Like, do you think there's secret prisons? Just random stuff. His aren't mean. Like, do this. I can't figure this out.
Right.
But I mean, and it wasn't just Josh Hanson. It wasn't just Castle. It wasn't just, there were like hundreds of people.
I feel like next week you're going to name more people. When you're the first, you're like, I don't want to name anyone.
No, I could name plenty of names. But what's happened since is that everyone has gone through, and even people that weren't rude before, now everybody is just like, now it's like remember the Simpsons Halloween special where if you stopped smiling, Bart would kill you?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. So now everybody that texts me is like, hey, man, so nice to talk to you. How's it going? And that's what I wanted. I mean, I wanted some cordial kind of nice, hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Doesn't it seem a little insincere at this
seems
point?
Seems totally insincere and totally forced. Totally forced, and I'm not buying any of it. I know you're only doing it because you have to. And then I'm just like, well, now I just suck.
I've had like three people like text me and say, Chung is full of crap. This whole thing, I'm not buying it. You know, why say hi? Why prepare someone for a text that's about to come through? I'm like, because it's nice.
Well, it's good. It's called respect or someone's time. It's a novel idea.
Which is funny because it actually was Castle, Josh, and Sean that said that to me.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, listen, those guys, those were the first three guys to text me. Believe me, and that's why I know it's okay to say their names, because there were a lot of other people. A lot of other people. Those guys are just safe. I know I'm safe to kind of give those guys a hard time, but yeah, I mean, there were many, many, many people. But now it's just...
How long do you think this will last, honestly?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Oh, you know, actually, there was one more name I should have mentioned that doesn't do it, and that's Morgan Hayes, because Morgan's always very polite.
Oh, yeah, he was
actually mad. Like, he works with me and Tim at the big boy job, and he comes up to me, he's like, hey, dickhead, I'm always nice to you. I'm never mean to you.
Wait, hold on. Hey, dickhead, I'm always nice to you.
No, and that's what he said. He goes, I went through and I had to check every single text. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? He didn't mention my name. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I should have mentioned Morgan Hayes, because he's always very polite.
Yeah. Yeah, Morgan.
He's from Texas, and Texans are usually very, very
Morgan
polite.
Is incredibly nice. He'll always be like, hey, I miss you. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I am one of those, I am kind of a hard on your sleeve kind of guy. You know this about me. I've always just kind of had this attitude like, look, your life could be over tomorrow. That's one of those lessons that, you know, many of us had to learn the hard way with Phil passing away, my dad. There were plenty of people. There's a lot of regret there for me, you know, where I wish I would have done something a little bit more. And even with that said, I always tell myself, look, you always need to kind of express your feelings. If you're really, really appreciating somebody, you need to tell them. You need to be respectful of them.
And
I think it's become such a foreign concept. There are people that were completely baffled by what I was saying. What, niceties? I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
You know, that's
just crazy.
You know, Phil is actually terrible at the niceties on text, right?
Well, he was always great with me.
Was he?
Yeah, he was always great with me,
Phil
too.
Phil was always great with me. I think he just didn't like you.
Oh.
I think that's all it was.
No, he loved me.
You would take him to free movies. And so, yeah, you would. Yeah, I know.
Until
liked
I stopped.
See?
Then he let me have
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love all the people on Twitter that are sending the hey brosif messages. Because you said that the one time.
I'm getting a lot of them.
Yeah.
Brosif. What's up,
bro? Brosif.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's been pretty bad. So now I'm kind of at the point where I'm almost ready to go, no, forget it. Forget I said anything. Just be a dink on your text. I don't care. I can't handle anymore.
Be careful. You have to be consistent here.
I know I do. I know, because I'm sending mixed signals. So keep being nice. It's fine. But it just feels totally forced.
Or are you just saying quit texting me? Is that what you want to say?
No, I love the text. If people stop texting me, I would be a basket case without the phone constantly buzzing.
Okay.
It'd freak me out so bad. Oh my gosh. I'm a neurotic mess now.
Just because you're unsure of people's sincerity. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just know it's not real. I'm not unsure about it at all. I'm quite sure it's not real. They're only doing it because I'm forcing them to do it.
So, on top of that, if I may follow that up.
Okay.
That segment got me in a lot of trouble.
That segment got you in trouble?
Yeah.
It did?
Yeah.
Well, it was my segment. Well, I was the one that was complaining.
Sure, but then, you know, sometimes I like to talk about myself when you're talking, just like now, and I will say...
It always spins back to you.
Right,
in
exactly.
Some way. Yeah, no, I understand.
You're so vain. So, I jump on there, and I'm like, hey, I just got this text from my friend from California, and he called me a fag.
And yes, your gay friend Andy.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for mentioning his name.
Was I not supposed to? I thought we mentioned his name.
We may have, but I kind of joked, and I think I was a little bit harsh, and I said, hey, he calls me, and I don't have time to talk to you, and I'm not going to answer the phone.
And, yeah, and then he writes fag.
So, yeah, and so anyways.
And we kind of liked that because we're very gay friendly here on this show.
Right.
And I said, stop being so dramatic, gays, because gay people are very dramatic. by their nature, they're dramatic. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, stereotypes are usually true.
Yeah. Totally.
So, but I got into trouble because he'd never listened to the show before.
Right.
He didn't know our dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And someone...
So now he's mad at you?
Yeah, he's...
Like, he's all the way...
He's
all the way
legit mad at like, you.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He told me he wouldn't be calling me anymore because he doesn't want to annoy me.
Oh, the drama.
And he goes, I thought you'd find the irony in me calling you fag. And I was like, no,
we
dude.
We did.
Dude,
that was the whole point of us talking about
like,
on the show.
I found it super funny. And that's why I shared it. And I, you know, and honestly, I'm just going to put this out there. Because he may not be listening. So whatever, that's fine. But, and maybe you guys can join me on this one.
Get him a rainbow sticker and one of those pink hats.
No, go nowhere.
Mail it to him and he'll be fine.
I do have to say this for people that are in my life, and I think our lives.
Yes.
Because this is part of the show. We've been going over 3 years now.
Yeah.
And if you're part of our lives, we're going to mention you. And guess what? It's generally going to be an amusing story.
Oh, no, it should be a given. I tell everybody, if somebody else, if somebody new comes into the circle, I'm like, look, you just have to understand you will be on the show.
Right.
At some point, because it's our real life. This is not, we're not making stuff up. We're talking about things that really happen in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tim Hemingway was saying to me the other day, and he's going to have a podcast starting soon. Tim is your friend from high school, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm very good friends with. And I said, you know, Tim's like, I never have anything crazy happen in my life. I just don't. And Morgan's like, well, hang with Chunga for 5 minutes and it will happen.
5 minutes.
And he's like, no, I need crazy things to happen. I just don't ever have anything like that happening in my life. And I think to myself, well, no, it really is true. I have crazy stuff happen to me all the time.
Yeah.
And then I talk about it on the podcast or the radio or whatever it is we're doing. And so you have to understand, if you hang out with Kenny, you will wind up on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a given. That's you guys are... Our life is the canvas, and you guys are the oily substance that we paint with.
You're all oily. I think that's what I got from that.
You guys are the greasy substance that we paint with.
But that's the thing. Like, I, as a person, I do not hold grudges. I don't care to burn bridges.
No, you
that's
don't.
That's not my
it's
thing.
It's almost to a fault with you.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to get walked on.
That's where you and I are actually very different. I'm one of those people where it's like, no, if I don't like you, I usually walk away with you on the ground and two middle fingers up in the air. That's how I've always
I wonder
just
why.
Been.
It's not like you've ever been burned before.
I mean, now is where I should really start naming names.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to build you up. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you famous. And then you're going to turn around and f*** me over and over and over
right.
again. That's where do I start? Yeah.
But, by the way, I've been waiting for the rich part. So,
well, unfortunately, you came to the party a little bit late.
I came to the party
after a whole stable of half-wits came before you
right.
and left with big full pockets and really bad attitudes.
No, I came to the party at the exact right time. Honestly.
You know what? For me, you certainly did. You came. I mean, seriously, I don't want to get all corny and start picking out drapes with you or anything, but my world would be a much different place without Kenny D in it. That is for damn sure.
All the way.
So, one of the finest men I'll ever know, my best friend in the whole world. I've got them both right here. So.
And I think my point, and if we're going to get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
When I came onto this project, everything that we've done on the radio and with this show that we have now,
yep.
it really was the perfect time because even starting with the movie reviews back in the day, even having 15 minutes to talk and have people hear my opinion,
yeah.
I think the ego could get in, and anyone who knows me knows my ego is big enough, but my ego yeah. could get big. And imagine if we had just, I was able to just, you know, make some money from that or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, well, F all you, because I can do this on my own.
I'm going to go buy a tiger and a solid gold tank.
Right. But the fact that
that was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
That was you. But the fact that we suffered loss together, the fact that we crawled back out of it, the fact that we've
all crawled out of
growing
it
crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is just, it kind of helps the ego at the same, like, meaning like, yeah, I feel great because gradually I think we've all earned it.
Well, you learn really, really fast when things are good and the champagne is flowing and the private jets are flying
right.
and everything's wonderful. Everybody's your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
But when all that goes away and you're left with a smoking hole where your life used to be, those people that stick around are your friends.
Yep.
And that's Sean Anders, and it's Kenny D, and it's Tim Hemingway, and it's...
That was Phil.
You know, Phil.
Yeah.
You know, the list goes on and on and on, and if I'm not mentioning you now, that's Josh Hansen. You know, honestly, Josh Hansen is one of those people... I admire Josh Hansen more than just about anybody, because anytime you see this guy doing anything, he's serving somebody else.
It's true.
Yeah. He's helping somebody else. There's not a minute that goes by in that guy's day where he's not helping somebody. And these are the people that are still around, and these are the people that, that I hope choose to stay around, because I've learned an awful lot over the past couple of years, an awful lot. And if you're not one of those people, if you're full of shit, I can spot you in about 2 seconds. So don't even try, because I'm looking for it now. You know what I mean?
And I think that's part of the thing. Like, you know, it's our podcast network. We've grown to so many shows. I don't even know how we got off on this tangent, but let's continue with it.
Yeah.
We've grown to so many shows, and I think our process for hearing the shows, making sure they're good for the network or not. Hey, that show is bad quality. We don't want that on the network. It's like, can you hang? Yeah. Like, can you grow with us?
Yeah.
And that's really all we ask.
Speaking of which, we got a new show called Ticked. These guys are actually great guys.
They are.
And that show has just barely started. And I love all three of these guys. And very, very honored and happy that they're on the show. And everybody should go check them out.
Absolutely.
So I listened to it today.
So did I.
Yeah. And so they have the launch show today, just the introduction.
Yeah, actually posted their first episode tonight, too.
Yeah, so it is about 17 minutes. Just go take a listen.
Yep.
They're going to promo basically what is coming.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to hear their personalities before they get into the guests.
Right.
It's really awesome.
Yep. And by the time this show airs, there should be another episode right behind that, like a full length episode for those guys as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a really cool concept. It's, you know, Lieb Montoya and I were talking, and we both kind of had this attitude that pretty much anybody that you come in contact with has got a story that's so interesting you could write a book about anybody that you come across on the street. So what they're doing is they're grabbing people with interesting stories and finding out what makes them tick, both positive and negative. And that could be a mountain climber or a pro skier or an artist or a business person. And it's a really phenomenal idea. And I think everybody should check it out because they're great guys and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have big hopes for this show, in case you can't tell.
You're right.
Yeah.
So also, I want to give a shout out. You may not, you know, be, you know, your pride may get in the way or whatever, but the Wealth Standard Radio podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy with
awesome.
It.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've been listening to the last few.
Oh, thanks.
So it's a lot of fun. In fact, you guys had a live one on Facebook today that I noticed.
Yeah, did you watch that one?
Yeah, I got to cut about 15 minutes of that because I'm trying to just, you know, binge them as much as I can.
Well, what we're doing is this was Patrick Donahoe's idea. He's the guy that I do it with. And he was the guy who started the Wealth Standard clear back in 2007. And it's just been going in. And so I said, look, we need to kind of take this out of the weeds a little bit. We need to make it more for the common man. And we need to have a little bit more fun with it. And so we're streaming it live on Facebook. So you can actually watch the podcast way before it actually airs. Usually weeks ahead of time. Couple of weeks ahead of time some cases. So, yeah, we're having a lot of fun with it. We have big goals with that one to try and make it a top five business podcast nationally. Well on its way.
If I may, I just think, like, I listened to your, not the most recent episode, the one before. It was about the Trump's first week, essentially.
Yep.
And I don't want to get into the weeds with politics because everyone will turn off the show.
People have had way too much.
We've had way too
much. I've lost like 1,000 followers on Facebook, crazy? By the way.
But I'm saying, you guys approach the Trump presidency from a very level place. It is from a place of economy, and it's saying, you know,
it's very analytical.
Could go poorly, could go well. Yeah. Let's discuss what's happened without any of like the crazy bias or argument.
We try and have a very, very journalistic approach to it. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
The good things that people are responding to, the scary things that people are responding to, the bad things. We try to call BS on both sides of the aisle kind of thing. So I think it's going pretty well, and I encourage everybody to go check it out. The Wealth Standard's it's fun.
It's a good show.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah. I mean, Thank you. If you can get more Chunga, you probably should.
It's funny hearing my dad all businessy.
No, it's crazy.
It's really cool.
Well, am I that businessy? I don't feel that businessy.
Like, you add the casualness, but you are also very, like, I would say, wow, this is going to sound bad, more articulate. Meaning, like, it's a very controlled show as well.
Well, it's not a... I want it to have elements of comedy, but it's a serious show.
Right.
And I think it is a different side of Chunga, a little bit.
So, because it's funny, because, you know, I do the same thing with Bacon Cell, where there's a slightly different version of me on that show, and vice versa on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so it is kind of funny just how we kind of transition. Yeah.
It's very inspirational, too. Every time I listen to an episode, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I'm all pumped up.
Well, good. That's exactly what we're after.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. So, anyway, a lot of good stuff is happening with Poddash.
Oh, and also, I have to mention,
yes,
So Big with Greg.
Yeah.
So Bad It's Good. The first episode I listened to, I finished today, and I'm not sure I wanted to, because it was very funny, but I heard the Oliverson say just way too dark of things. I don't know, it was...
Erin had the swears.
She was saying the F word. Like, yeah. If you want to hear Erin say the F word, listen
to
the show.
By the way, these guys are our Disney podcast people.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And they were talking about some weird stuff, but...
Okay. So no, you want to fly your freak flag, go check out the... the park hoppers.
Exactly.
That is the number one criticism that we get from people, is that we don't swear enough.
Wait, on this show or just all shows?
On pretty much universally through all the shows.
Oh, Bacon Cell, we're swearing like crazy.
Are you really?
No, it's they won't even family friendly.
I'm like, why is Joel? Well, no, Joel, you got Joel on the show.
Yeah.
No, that is the number one complaint we get, is that we are too controlled. We are too FM controlled.
Really?
Yeah.
Because we'll drop some H-bombs here and there.
Occasionally.
And you guys got to know, I mean, it's really like my life, I'm an Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really, I like the salty language. I grew up with the Goonies when I was a kid.
You like it, but you were such a professional that you don't need to just throw it in for shock value. If I may say that.
Yeah.
No, right. I don't swear for shock value. I swear because I like it. My only regret is that I don't have another mouth in which to swear more from.
This is why you shouldn't be listening with your grandparents, people, because we have a lot of people doing it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just talk about terms from Urban Dictionary.
I know them all. Arabian goggles. You want to know what the Arabian goggles are? I'll tell you.
He taught me what that was at Last Bash Music.
Wait.
The Cleveland Steamer.
I don't want to know about the Cleveland Steamer, but I kind of want
to
know
about... You don't want to know about anything that's in my head.
I know about the Dirty Sanchez? I want to know about the Arabian
The Rusty
goggles.
Trombone?
No. No. That sounds...
This is what I learned from my dad last Saturday.
Yep. What, were you guys having Bash a talk music. And he talked about the Rusty Trombone?
Kind of.
I told him what the Arabian goggles were, because Morgan brought it up and he was like, you don't know what any of these are? And Spinari being the innocent golden child that he is like, no.
Hey guys, can you tell me?
Do you not know
Arabian
either?
Goggles?
Or do I need to look it up?
Just go look it up. I am not going to be. Put that phone away. I know how
Getty.
He gets hyper-focused and then can't do the show.
Well, it's funny.
Later. We'll let everybody go look it up on their own time.
People want to hear it.
Oh, it's hilarious.
There's a quarter of the audience that's like, obscene. Just please say it, because I don't want to look it up myself and have that
the
be
Arabian
on my
goggles?
Work computer history.
I can't. I just can't. I don't want to lose another 1,000 followers.
Arabian goggles would lose you followers. Probably way less than political posts.
I don't know what happened. I posted like a couple of political posts, and it was all in good fun, like George Bush with the picture of the nun.
With the poncho?
Yeah, right. With the poncho.
The rain poncho.
I lost, no joke, like 1,000 followers.
Oh, doesn't even make any sense.
What the hell is happening? I've just lost 1,000 people.
Who knows?
It was pretty crazy. Like, people are really polarized right now. They're pretty freaked out.
He really had a hard time with that rain poncho, though.
No, he wasn't having a hard time. He was having fun with it.
Is that what it was?
It's W.
You just hand him something like that. He'll play for hours.
No, did you see the way he looked at the camera?
Oh,
he knew what he was doing.
He was soaking it up. Oh,
it's some kind of puzzle. Yeah. It's some kind of water puzzle. What are we doing? Is this church?
Why is...
Did you guys take me to church?
Why is George W. not a correspondent on the show?
We should have had him live from the
inauguration.
From the inauguration, right?
That's great.
I've lost my dad. I don't know where he's at.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, but I do have to say that that Laura was sad that you weren't at Bash Music.
I mean, totally
switching gears here. She was really sad. She actually brought Valentine's presents.
Oh, wait,
Erin, what? Erin.
Yeah, she
you were
did.
Talking about Erin, you know, using the swears and stuff.
Erin was out of town, so she couldn't be here. But yeah, Laura brought a bunch of Valentine's stuff for you.
I think she brought Laura gifts too.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what she does. And I have to keep telling her, look, you got the show. Stop with the gifts.
Right.
You don't have to bring gifts. She's like, no, that's what I do.
And it was her birthday, and she didn't even
and
tell
it's
anyone.
Her birthday, and she hit it. So. Yeah.
Happy
spanking
birthday.
Machine, spanking machine for Laura, coming up.
All right,
here we go. Yeah.
You know what's weird is her husband would totally be down with that.
Oh yeah, he wouldn't care.
Right,
he's fine. He would seriously. Like, he'd be holding the camcorder. So
we all remember the hugging incident from 2016.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Push my butt up into her.
But I wanted to say thanks to Laura Hicks of Life on the Rocks, please, for the great Valentine's presents.
Wait, what did you get? I totally missed this.
Well, she tried to find those Cadbury Oreo eggs.
Oh, that, yeah. You can't get them.
Tim on the Wisps show, he found some.
Yeah.
And bought like 5 cases of them.
What?
Yeah.
He's selling them on the black market. He's cleaning up. But Laura couldn't find anybody, so she got me Oreos and some cream eggs.
And then she
was just like, eat them at the same time and stop complaining.
And then she got me a big thing of Peeps, because I'm apparently like the only person at podcast that likes Peeps. Yeah, see?
Yeah, Peeps.
Peeps are the worst.
Yeah, Spinari got some Peeps, and then she got you chicken and a biscuit cracker.
Oh my gosh, what?
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
And I just didn't have the stones. I didn't have the heart to tell her. I was like, Laura, I hate Valentine's Day. I hate Valentine's Day. Like, all the way, I can't stand it.
No, you don't. You love holidays.
I love some holidays, and I passionately don't like other holidays. And at the top of the list, like, my least favorite holiday, my least one, next to Ramadan, is...
Oh.
What? Well, I don't get it. I don't understand.
What
I'm uneducated.
Do they do for Ramadan?
I don't know. Isn't that the one where they light the candles?
No.
I don't know. See?
Wow.
I just picked a holiday. I didn't know.
I'm 90% sure that's Hanukkah.
Okay. 90% sure?
Yeah,
we
celebrated it last month.
We should just
probably
stop.
Yom Kippur
Let's
as
just
well.
Stop. No, we need to stop. Anyway, my least favorite holiday is Valentine's Day. I don't.
Has it always been?
Yeah. I've never liked it. And people automatically assume, because I used to talk about it all the time on the radio, it was like, well, you just don't like it because you're a dude. And I think that people don't understand, like, they legitimately don't understand why I have such a disdain for Valentine's Day. Like, really bad. Really bad. And it has nothing to do with not liking love or not liking romance or not like, you should be doing that every day if you have somebody.
I don't like the idea
that it's a contrived holiday where it's like, go buy your missus or your true love something. No, I do that every day.
Yeah, this is the only day that you really should do this.
I'm not going to do that because society tells me to do it.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? So I reject the notion of Valentine's Day. Every day is Valentine's Day.
So is that the real reason you hate it, or is there something that happened to you as a kid?
Well, I always hated having to give Valentine's to people I didn't like. You know, I'm going to stick this in your shoebox. In your tinfoil shoebox.
Right.
There's a big frowny on
it. Kid that beat me up at recess. I always thought it was a little weird that you had to give Valentine's to other dudes in the class. That was also a little weird.
I wouldn't do that as a kid. I would just hide all the Valentine's for the other kids that were guys and just stuff them in my pocket. And then come home and like throw them away really quick.
Really?
I felt too weird about it.
Yeah.
And then in later years, I would find the cheesiest, worst Valentine's I could find. Like Michael Jordan Valentine's. What they say, like, you know, it's Michael Jordan holding a basketball in a sweater. And it says, you're cool.
Is that what you bought me? Who's the safari guy that died from the stingray?
Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
You bought me Steve Irwin Valentine's to take to school.
And I would give them to everybody at the radio station. Yeah. I would do that. I would give Valentine's in everybody's mailbox.
They were like the worst ones possible.
And I would decorate my mailbox in tinfoil like when you were a kid. Just because it was just the dumbest thing ever. It's like the dumbest holiday ever.
Snake, rattle, and roll, Valentine.
Yes. I choose you.
Will you dingo to the dance with me, Valentine? Or dingo steady?
And it was after Steve Irwin had died.
I found him
at like Big Lots or That's Pick terrible. And Save. I can't remember where I found him, but they were clearanced because, you know, dead. So
you're a ray of sunshine, Valentine.
That's mean.
Is that mean?
That's how he died. The stingray.
Oh no, I forgot.
You're so lying. Anyway, I just never really liked it. And then of course my divorce went through on Valentine's.
Oh jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, it was just one of those things where I just have never liked it. But I've always said, look, if you really love somebody, you should show that every day, not on some sort of contrived bullshit holiday that, you know, consumerism, capitalism has kicked up.
Right.
That's just dumb.
Yeah, you're making sense to everyone that's listening, except for when
women.
The day...
except for women.
I'm not saying that at all. But women, right?
But every chick listening to this show right now, you're mad.
No. I even think women are totally level-headed about that.
Actually, most feedback I get are from women going,
right.
I totally agree.
But I think when the day comes around, there is an expectation and there is a sense of failure if you have not stepped up your game just a fraction on that day.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Valentine, I don't celebrate the Valentines.
I just don't.
It just does not exist. And the, you know, I think one of the real reasons it makes me so mad is because the minute Christmas is over, like December 26th, people are taking back their gifts and it's Boxing Day and there's mayhem in the malls. Mm-hmm. The Valentine's garbage is all, it's already up. So the Christmas, the body of Christmas past is not even cold and all the Valentine's crap is everywhere. And that's where I'm just like, no.
Well, and I
just reject it all the way.
The biggest reason why I hate Valentine's is they have the crappiest treats and candy
out of any holiday.
The worst candy ever.
Those little hard things, they're like just chalk.
You know, it just sits undigested. I've probably got like 10 of those still in my,
jingling
like around in my colon somewhere.
You're going to pass those one day.
Yeah, you just know like a kidney stone.
They're like thick Nikko wafers. That's just all the way gross.
That's why people were dying so young back in the day.
Because of the little hearts.
Because they just ate crappy candy that was made out of chalk or something. What is this? Is this gypsum? Is this made out of sheetrock?
They're doing the autopsy and they're like, what killed him, Doc? Well, it has traveled in his heart. It said, you are a QT.
Yeah.
Conversation hearts.
Remember that rumor back in the day that Rod Stewart had to get his stomach pumped? Remember that?
Yeah.
That rumor back in the day? That's what's going to happen to me, except it's just going to be those damn candy hearts. They're all still
the little
in there.
Sayings on them.
I'm like a piggy bank. Like, if you shake me a lot, you can hear those.
Jingles.
You can hear them rattling around. It's the worst candy ever.
It's the worst candy.
It is.
Yeah. So I'm just not a fan. Do you like Valentine's Day? Are you a fan?
See, I want to give the right answer here, but I want to also give an honest answer.
Yeah, because you don't want to forego the lip poon that you're getting so much of.
Because you were in Vegas last year.
On Valentine's Day. That's how some people figured out that you were getting divorced.
Yeah.
Really?
Vegas?
What do you mean?
Vegas with your friend Griff as you're waiting outside of a strip club by yourself.
On Valentine's Day?
There's something clearly wrong there.
Waiting outside, mind you. Outside.
Yeah,
on Fremont Street at 2:30 in the morning.
That's when you took the picture, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, it was obviously, I mean, last year wasn't a big deal when it came to Valentine's Day, so yes, mm-hmm. a road trip was kind of perfect.
Sure.
And I actually think maybe there's no better time to take a road trip than on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That you just kind of get away and there's no expectations. You're like, oh, hey, I'm going to be gone, but I'll treat you really good when I'm back, if anyone's going
to
do that.
I'm
going
to take
sure no
you to a spaghetti dinner. I think I don't know. Are most people in this? Do most people like Valentine's Day? Is this something that I would love some?
Here's
feedback
the thing.
I think
people are so stressed out about life at this point that any added pressure, i.e., Valentine's Day,
people are really fragile right now.
That is too much. And we just had Christmas a month ago.
Yep.
And now we have to buy something for Valentine's Day. Yeah, here's my thing. I just think avoid the restaurants on Valentine's Day itself.
That's very true.
It's just ridiculous. They're going to be so busy. It's so cliche. I've been that guy where even when I was married, there was no expectation for Valentine's Day because you both are sharing money.
Yeah.
And you're like, why would we spend our money on something stupid, right?
Yeah.
But then I was still the guy that's like, well, I better be nice. And even though she doesn't like flowers, I'm going to go to the store just like every other guy and buy roses that are upcharged for times the actual amount.
That's right.
And I'm gonna get the crappy ones that are left.
Yeah.
And I've been that guy. And then the flowers die
sure.
two days later, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And because you do feel that pressure to be like, well, I can't fail.
Well, you know, you have to do something this year, right?
Yeah.
Or Jessica's just not, I mean, that's it. It's over.
Right.
That's just done.
So what's a good gift? What should I do?
Well, this is what I would do. And I know you follow my advice, so this is what I would do. I would say today we're having a naked day. Today is naked day. And then what I would do is I would make a big like popcorn bowl and fill it full of like fried bacon.
Ooh.
And then what I would do is sit down and watch your box sets of The Love Boat.
I have box sets of The Love Boat, apparently.
No, I do, but you can borrow.
No, I think Valentine's Day you should be gifting something for someone. And naked me is not a gift.
Naked Kenny with bacon grease? And Captain Stubing on the boob tube? Please. That's my Narnia.
Oh, so many visuals here.
Patrick Duffy guest starring with Charo.
Coochie Coochie Girl?
Yeah. Maybe Barbie Benton and Donnie Marie showing up there on the Love Boat. That, I'm telling you, that's a good weekend. That's a good Valentine's night right there. The Love Boat. Huh? Not a stitch of clothing on? Got some little burns from the bacon grease going?
So that's how things are here. Spinari, if you need a place to stay on Valentine's Day,
please?
You can stay with
me. Is that
me.
Okay?
No, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. This is my advice to you.
I just feel like you've done this before, and I'm a bit worried about your son.
I know.
Help me.
Actually, I'm like the worst guy for Valentine's Day. I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah. Well, and here's one thing.
To me, there's nothing worse than the contrived dinner and a box of chocolates.
Right.
Well, that's a crappy thing about being a millennial, because thanks to social media, every girl likes to post every picture of their boyfriend or their girlfriend.
Yeah, but giving them stuff.
Giving them stuff. And so I've only ever had one girlfriend on Valentine's Day, and it was horrible, and it ruined the relationship.
That's because she wanted cocaine.
Wait, what?
So I'm just saying.
Wait,
he dated a lot of models.
I did a lot
I know
of models.
This, but what happened on Valentine's Day?
All she cared about was the posts and like the things I would buy her to post on social media. She didn't actually like care about me. So it
could
have been
like,
anyone.
What are you giving me so that I can put it on my social media?
She literally said that to me. And so I was like, yeah, no, this is over. I'm sorry. So I broke up with a girl because of Valentine's Day, and it was the only girl I dated on Valentine's Day. So if a girl says, I don't want anything, she wants something.
Well, no, that's always the case.
Yeah,
don't, like, don't fall don't prey. Anything. Don't if Jessica says I don't want anything, don't fall prey to that.
Right.
I mean, that happened to Greg too.
I was going to say that actually happened to Greg.
Wait, it did?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think she tried to kill him.
Oh,
yeah because
one.
He didn't get anything. He didn't get her anything because he was like, I listened.
Yeah,
and she didn't. She said, "Don't give me anything," and he was like, "Okay."
And she was so pissed.
Sweet.
So make sure to get at least something, even though if you don't, you know.
You know what we should do is we should actually ask for some ideas. Like, if you want to give us some feedback and give us some ideas, because have some time before Valentine's Day, we can come, you know, possibly come back next week and say, look, here's what people have said.
Right.
And we're actually looking for good Valentine's ideas. Because I think, you know.
Roses and a box of chocolate.
Let's do this. How could you convince me to like Valentine's Day?
Ooh, that's great.
You know, I go to my Facebook page and tell everyone to follow me back, and let's come up with some good Valentine's Day options, stuff that people are going to respond to, that makes Valentine's Day not just awful.
I think that it's just a bad holiday because it really brings to light people's sadness or loneliness. I mean, because, you know, there's Singles Appreciation Day, which has now become a thing.
Singles Appreciation Day?
Right.
Wow.
Right. Well, it's just the anti-Valentine's
stuff sentiment. You've learned.
No, I've known this for a while.
I've known about that as well. Yeah, that's actually
really?
A thing. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
A thing.
You know, people's like, people. Oh, Valentine's couple's great. Have fun at your nice dinner and being all romantic. And here I am binge-watching Sherlock on Hulu. You know, it's
covered in bacon grease and
covered
naked.
In bacon grease sitting next to me.
Yep.
It really brings to light, you know, because, you know, we already dealt with Christmas and, you know, and Thanksgiving. And sometimes family holidays can get very lonely as well. If people don't have their families around. And now here's this one dedicated to love, and it's like, oh, look at all these happy people, or at least acting happy. Look at all these happy people, and then there's you.
Yeah.
Sitting home alone. And I hate that it makes people go, oh yeah, I am depressed and lonely.
Because it's right after Christmas, and you were probably that way then, too.
And all those people at the singles war that I talked about last week. Yep. Oh, that's so
bad. You mean at the pound?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of feedback. All people agreeing with me. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like, nobody said, Chunga, you're a bad person for saying this. Everybody was like, oh, you nailed it.
And I asked a lot of people, I'm like, did I seem kind of egotistical? And they're like, well, that's just you.
Yeah, that is.
That's just kidding.
No one was surprised. There was no blowback.
None.
Oh, well.
So, anyway.
Well, no, thank you for the advice. Yeah, do you have something planned, like, as far as a gift for your lady?
Sure,
for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, oh, sure.
He has
no. He has no
let me
idea.
Come up with
he
that plan.
No idea.
Okay.
We need happen. Your help, people.
Yeah. So anyway,
no, I love that.
We will share that next week.
Yeah.
But so on the Facebook comments, especially, reach out and tell Chunga why he should like Valentine's Day, or give a funny memory,
or ideas that I could try and implement that would make me like Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can. If you can, it's not mandatory, but if you can, try and keep it kind of clean, because I don't want to lose 1,000 more followers. I just lost 1,000 followers because, like, I showed George Bush playing with his slicker.
That sounds wrong.
That sounds so bad.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we should probably move on. I do need some help in another area, actually, because I'm moving.
Yes.
We are moving
to... I'm busy that day. That's crazy.
No,
that is so crazy that you would move on the day I'm busy.
You have to understand how I move. I don't lift a finger, man.
Good.
Come on. That's not how I move. Please.
I know how you move because you used to have a gigantic TV to the left of me,
yeah.
And now there's no TV.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of moving that up the stairs, you both broke it down with
a
hammer.
Destroyed it. Yeah, we destroyed it with
a hammer.
So
much fun.
It was awesome.
Okay, so how do you move?
I just bring in some movers and just make them do it while I'm at work.
Oh, that's great.
I'm not doing it. No way.
Yeah.
You know why? And it's not because I'm lazy. It's not because I'm a diva and I'm a fancy pants, which is kind of true. I do it because I would probably hurt myself or someone else, and I would break everything. I just don't trust my abilities to do manual labor.
Okay.
I would probably break stuff, and I don't want to break things. So that's really, I'll let the professionals do it, you know. But we're moving to some new digs, and I'm really excited because we actually have a studio that is separated from the house. And it's big and it's awesome and it's going to be this really cool environment for us to do bash music and pod bash and everything else. But I have to get my cats there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And anybody who owns a cat knows just how traumatic it is for these cats when you put them in a carrier or you have to get them in a car.
Tell me this.
Dogs can do this. Cats,
When you put your cats in the car, do they do the open mouth thing where they go, argh.
They pant and they freak out and they,
it's the craziest thing.
They pee everywhere. They lose control of their bodily fluids. It's really a traumatic experience. And I don't want to put my cats through that. So is there a way that I can drug these cats legally and safely?
Would catnip help?
No, that won't help.
That
hypes them up.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Somali chew cot for like 7 hours and go nuts with an AK? That's what...
That's Cheeto.
That's what Cheeto does on catnip.
I have catnip spray that I am bringing.
I bought a bag of catnip. This is no joke. And it was just catnip. And I was going to kind of dip their toys and kind of rub their toys in the catnip bag. Right. And Cheeto smelt the bag and tore the... He was green for like a week.
We have a big green spot in the carpet.
To this day, I have a green spot in the carpet.
From all the catnip.
From all
and
the catnip.
And Cheeto was green.
Yeah, he was completely green.
Just rolling around.
So this is, So I have to find a way to sedate these cats in a way that's safe, that isn't, you know, really super expensive. I'd give them weed, but, you know, I've never smoked weed in my life.
Right.
So I wouldn't know the first way to do it. Eat this brownie, cat. I don't know how that would even work.
Get
so
the brownies.
Me never being a drug guy ever, being very anti-drug, as a matter of fact, I don't know how to do this. So if anybody has any ideas on what to do with these cats, I'd be very appreciative.
I'm sure there's someone with veterinary experience out there that, you know,
somebody
give them a little
can help
injection.
Us. Yeah, if I can go buy something topical that I can put in their food or something like that, that'll just maybe make them a little drowsy.
Do you think they'll be okay once they get there?
Oh, they'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, they're too old to care. But I think they'll be just fine. I just have to try and, you know, get them there without them destroying me, my car, or the floor of the car with their own urine.
Or poo.
There's that.
Yeah.
Because they do that.
They do that.
They get really panicky. So if anybody has any ideas, much appreciated.
Or a car you want to volunteer to the effort.
Uh-huh. And I'll make Kenny drive it with the cats in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, and that's kind of a serious thing. I actually do need the help because I can't figure out how to do this. And I'm a little bit confused.
Okay.
And if I call a vet, they're going to be like, yeah, come down here and buy our $800 salve. You know, and then you have to rub it in their eyes once a day, every 4 hours for 2 weeks before you move them. It's going to be crazy. So if anybody has any better ideas, just let me know.
Hmm. Can you choke them out a little bit, you think?
Dude.
No.
What the hell?
I don't know why that came up.
ASPCA is going to come in.
Why
would you say that?
No. Just like, you know, put your hand over their mouth.
No.
Don't
say that. Do you remember when I was gone on a trip and I started getting all of these emails and texts because you started saying bad stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Wait, so you're saying this is one of the bad things that I would normally say?
Yes.
That's one of the worst things I've said?
Kenny is clearly joking.
Let's just say that Lucy may not be around anymore.
What? No.
I tried to make you go to sleep.
You did not.
Like, of Mice and Men.
Lucy the mean cat?
Mice and Men.
Stop it.
Soft kitty. Lucy's healthy, everyone. Exactly. I love cats.
Look, I'm pulling the ejection handle. You're on your own.
I love cats.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you in advance for the help. Moving on to some other stuff. We do have, Sundance. Can we talk Sundance?
Sundance is officially over.
Now, listen, I know there's some of you right now that are going to like your eyes are going to roll back in the back of your head because nobody cared about Sundance this year. That's what we're talking about because I noticed that too. No one really cared this year about Sundance at all. The highlight of Sundance were my stories from like 8 years ago. Sundance.
Yeah, they were the Danger Sprite.
Yeah.
Billy Joe running around with Danger Sprite.
That's not Sprite, Billy. We found him under the moose.
What, did you really?
Yeah, well, that part. Did we put that part in there?
No.
I think he was covered in snow with the Sprite. We found him underneath
the... Did you cut that?
I think we did cut that out. Yeah. We found him under the moose, laying down in the fetal position, covered in snow.
Was he having trouble trying to sleep, though?
Nope. He was having no trouble trying to sleep. He was having trouble getting up. Anyway, let's move on. So no one cared about Sundance. Am I wrong in this assessment? It seemed like there were no parties.
You're not wrong at all.
It seemed like there were, at the most, like a couple of parties, maybe, at Park City Live, but that was because Tao bought it out, but no one could really go to those.
There were a few exceptional DJs that came up, like Zed was there.
Zed came up, and of course it's Utah, so Marshmello had to be there.
Marshmello was there.
Because Marshmello, that's all people know in this town.
Those were clearly the biggest shows.
Right.
And it was really kind of tough because any other celebrity shows... there were no celebrities there because there was a lot of Trump stuff going on, and so there were other fish to fry, basically.
Yeah, so the celebrities really didn't even show.
Celebrities from everyone I've talked to did not even look up. They just kept walking, wouldn't really take pictures. There were very few nice celebrities this year. Granted, there were horrible blizzards up in Park City.
Yeah.
And maybe people just wanted to get to where they were going, but even like on nice days, it was just like... Okay, I just got to get to where I'm going.
So what is your assessment as to why this happened? Is it because of the content of the movies? Is it because of the election?
It was the content of the movies.
Okay.
And that's the way I see it. I don't go celebrity sightseeing. I don't really care about, you know, skiing up there either.
Right.
Like, so it's all about the movies. This year was just, you know, I gave my reviews last week.
Yeah.
And the highlight was a girl eating her sister's finger. You know, that one cannibal movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can tell you another scene. It seemed like people were really into that.
No, they weren't.
And so they wanted more cannibalism stories.
People complained.
Had a couple of people message me saying they turned the podcast off.
Maybe that's why I lost 1,000 followers.
I'm sorry. But no, it's kind of crazy. So, like, Best of Fest was this past weekend. And Best of Fest is where they do all the winners, whether it's, like, directing, screenwriting.
Yeah.
And they also have, like... the big winner, and there's a grand jury prize and an audience award. And for like the past few years, the grand jury and the audience have agreed on the main movie of the year.
Right.
So, for example, a couple of years ago, it was Whiplash, which is a phenomenal movie.
Great movie.
There was Meet Earl and the Dying Girl. There was last year it was Birth of a Nation, which kind of disappeared.
Sing
Street won something. It wasn't that, though.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say is this year, the grand jury winner was an Elijah Wood movie called like We Don't Live Here Anymore. So, like, I don't want to live... Anyways, it was a really strange title.
Uh-huh.
I hear it's a fun movie, but, like, nothing great. And then the big winner for the audience was a movie called Crown Heights, which I saw last night.
Uh-huh.
And it was just... None of these movies made a splash.
Yeah, no... There's no buzz about any of this stuff.
No. And they always talk about big deals coming out of Sundance. I think the biggest one sold for maybe $5 million, whereas last year it was, like, $17 million.
That's really small.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix and Amazon bought most of the stuff, and they're going to premiere it next month. You know, there was no... Last year, I saw Manchester by the Sea, which has clearly been saved till now for Oscar races.
Yeah.
Because it's that kind of movie. Sing Street was released in the summer, but it was the kind of movie
that
made you walk out singing.
Which is too bad, because that should have been an Oscar movie.
It got snubbed.
It's honestly one of the best movies I saw all year.
Yes. It's because the Weinsteins, they didn't advertise for it.
Uh-huh.
They didn't really promote it during Oscar season.
Okay.
And it should have been. But the past few years, there have been phenomenal movies. This year is kind of like, hey, here's another really sad drama about
prison life. Would you call this a failure?
Life.
Would you call this Sundance a failure?
Compared to previous years, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. No standouts whatsoever. The Jeremy Renner movie, freaking awesome. But
that's really the only standout, right?
For me.
Yeah. Well, that's the only one I've heard anybody talk about.
Right. There's like a comedy called The Big Sick, which apparently did very well.
Mm-hmm.
But will probably premiere next month as well. It's just things are really under the radar. I don't know if this is kind of a move because Sundance itself, they even closed off the Ogden location because they had at the Egyptian Theater in Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
every day they'd have movies playing there.
And they had a ton of screenings in Salt Lake. They used to have a ton of screenings in Salt Lake, some in Provo.
Yes.
And there was talk that they were just going to pull it out of Park City because it was too crazy up there. It was way too nuts.
So I'm wondering if they're just purposely trying to scale it back or picking movies that aren't making a lot of buzz. I don't see why they would, because Utah is still a big venue for this. Tourism goes up. There's a lot of money coming into the state.
Yeah.
But this year, not much.
Hmm.
Little buzz.
That's, I don't know how to respond to that, actually. Because on one hand, I go, good, because that's what Robert Redford's wanted forever.
Right.
And then on the other hand, I go, well, I also say good, because that's less douchebags walking around in their, you know, with their neck beards and their jaunty hair.
It's for a week and a half, so I don't mind the neck beards for a week and a half. And that's just fine.
Right.
But it's a bit strange that I saw about 10 movies and saw one really good one. All the other movies were like B's or B minuses, and they were like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I talked to friends that saw over 20 movies, and they're like, yeah, it was okay. I was like, really? You saw that amount of movies that other people may never see, and it was just okay.
So my friend Ben Lonsdale, mm-hmm. who I know is, some of you may know the name Gordon Lonsdale. He's a Utah guy. He's worked on High School Musical and NCIS, and he's a very good director of photography. I am very good friends with his son, Ben. I work every day with his son, Ben. And Ben was like, hey, when's Kenny going to get me some Sundance tickets? And I said, I don't think there's really anything you want to see.
Right.
I don't think there's really anything at all. He's like, nothing?
If I knew there was something huge that people would be talking about.
Yeah, and you would have given them to him. But occasionally Ben would pop over and he'd be like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, there's nothing going on. It's just dead. There's just nothing happening this year. So that's kind of interesting, kind of troubling. I think for the economy a little bit in the state of Utah, I would love to see the numbers.
It really actually, for me as a film fan, sucks. Because I love to see Sundance movies kind of released throughout the year. Because I know like a Sing Street will come out in May or June, and it will kind of break up the superhero monotony of the year.
Which is not this year, going away.
It's not going away, and sequels are it. It's sequels and animated, you know, just kids movies
mm-hmm.
that are now year-round, and I like a few of these.
You know, when I was producing movies, when I was putting slates of movies together, this is like 2005 to about 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that five-year span right about there. When I was really, really focusing on this and putting together a lot of movies, it's so funny how quickly things can change, because back in the day, it was like, if it's a franchise movie, if it's a sequel, we don't want it. The only thing people are responding to is original quality product. We want original content, new concepts, new everything, because people are not going to sequels anymore. And then, lo and behold, that's all people want to see now.
Right.
People do not want to go see
it's
new movie standalone.
People know what to expect, and they love it.
Yeah, I think that's a reflection of the economic climate, and I think it's a reflection of world affairs and things like that.
Probably, yeah.
They just want to go with what they know because it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, you remember sequels back in the day in maybe late 80s, maybe some early 90s.
The only good ones were Star Wars. That was it.
Star Wars, and most of the cast wouldn't come back because they'd be like, oh, it's cheap.
Yeah.
They're going to spend less money.
They didn't want to.
And now they'll spend more money and hope to make a profit.
Star Wars was Indiana Jones, Star Wars, and that's really about it. There were a lot of good movies that came out back in the day, but then there were a lot of movies that should have been good that weren't, that should be remade. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I want to remake.
What do you mean?
Well, Tim Hemingway and I really this is no joke. When the economy starts to turn, I may start doing some of the movie stuff again because I want to remake. I want to rewrite it. I want to write it.
Well,
and possibly do the EP work, the executive producer work.
You know I have issues with remakes, right?
I know you do.
Especially when it messes with something that people like.
But I think I could do it. I think, you know, we've talked about my concepts for different things, and you've said over and over again, you know, you should have written that.
Right.
I think I could rewrite Willow.
And it would be, wow.
No, I want to remake Willow.
Hold on.
Yeah, and Tim's going to be pissed that I talked about it on the podcast.
Hold on. I am of the age where 80s fantasy movies were my jam.
Yeah.
And I love
that. That was supposed
so
to be
much.
A whole thing like Indie and Star Wars. They were supposed to do, that was supposed to be a whole franchise.
Oh, it was?
Willow was?
Yeah, but they released it a couple of years too late when people just weren't into it. If they would have released it earlier, I would say like 83, it probably would have been huge. But they released it a couple of years too late. And I want to remake it. I seriously want to rewrite it.
Now, when you say rewrite it, it's just make it modern with great special effects and everything like that?
No, no, no. I want to rework. I want to take what worked and keep that in, and then I want to rework the stuff that didn't work. Because there were some things that were pretty horrible. The character of Willow was pretty whiny and pretty shrieky, and I would change all of that.
Right.
Mad Mardigan would stay in there. One of the greatest kind of swashbuckling characters.
Yeah, but how
of
do you replace like Val Kilmer in his prime?
Yeah, you got to find somebody. You got to find somebody who's young enough that can be a franchise guy.
Everyone will be like Chris Pratt.
No, Chris Pratt. The only one that comes to mind for me is Ryan Reynolds, but he's too old. Okay. You've got to have somebody that can age with Mad Mardigan. So I don't know, maybe the kid that played Eggsy in The Kingsman.
Okay.
But he's a little too young. You sure. see what I mean? Sure. So I don't know. But that's what I would really like to remake that one, or maybe I would like to take The Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because that had such potential. And that thing was just terrible. I mean, just an ugly baby all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Just terrible, terrible, terrible.
Would you, Eddie Murphy.
I was going to ask, would you make it like a comedy like it was?
No.
And maybe wasn't
supposed
to be?
No. It would be absolutely not. It would be more of an adventure film, kind of like Indiana Jones or Pirates or Goonies.
Also like the mysteries of this mansion, almost.
Yeah. It would be awesome. Yeah. And I would make it, and I would turn it into a franchise.
Kind of like a Crimson Peak, in a way?
It wouldn't be as gothic.
It would be more family friendly.
Take Stranger Things and Goonies and Super 8 and turn it into something that's more scary.
Okay.
And Shaun of the Dead. And then put all that together, and that would be Haunted Mansion.
That would be way cool.
That's what I would want. I want to rewrite this.
I'm okay with remaking, although I disagree with Willow, remaking things that didn't work.
You don't think
first
I should rework Willow at all?
Look, I'd love to see Willow. I'd love to see a Willow franchise. I honestly would.
Mm-hmm.
But it hurts to think that we're remaking something that I hold so dear.
Well, no, listen. For people your age, because Tim Hemingway loves this movie too, and I do too, Willow was a fantastic movie, but it did miss its mark. There were some issues with it. There were some things that didn't quite work. And now the CGI doesn't hold up, and there's a lot of things that just don't work.
Would you put in the big phallic, the snake monster, the three-headed snake monster?
Oh, yeah, that's Stan.
Yes. Those were super weird.
There was maybe Labyrinth would be another one, but with the loss of David
Bowie. No, you can't redo Labyrinth.
You can't redo Labyrinth.
My first crush was in Willow.
Joanne Whalley, who met Val Kilmer, her husband.
They got married?
Yeah, dude. They got married. They fell in love on that shoot.
I fell in love with her. I was like six.
Yeah, she didn't age well.
Oh, really?
No, she was in the Roma Downey, the Bible TV series. She played the wife of Pontius Pilate. She was the wife of Pontius Pilate.
Unrecognizable.
Totally unrecognizable.
Oh, man. She was my first crush.
Yeah, she was great, right?
Oh.
So there's a lot of, and no, it wouldn't be what's her name, Katniss. I wouldn't cast her in that role.
No.
What else? What are some other? Do you have one? Do you have one?
See, I would just want to do movies that didn't quite work. Like I'd want to remake.
No, that have potential to be good movies but didn't work.
Would people be mad at me if I said E.T.?
No, E.T. sucked.
Because I hated E.T. I think that had a lot of potential, but
You're
taking off the headphones?
People are pissed right now. No. When he looked like a powdered donut, and I was like, yes.
Big good. Yeah. Elliot.
I would have been like, look, somebody grabbed the .22. He's dead.
Here's the thing about E.T., if I may.
Absolutely.
It was so critical for Steven Spielberg's career. Granted, you may not really care for the film, and there may be a lot of tropes about it, but even the way it was filmed, that it was filmed from a kid's perspective the entire time.
The camera angles were low.
You didn't see adults unless it was their mom.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you didn't trust any of the adults. I mean,
the first product placement movie where they were using actual brands in the movie.
It was a kid's experience, and that is what works for the movie. And that's why the ending is so powerful, because these kids are able to fly on their effing bikes.
Do you think it could be remade, though?
No.
No, really?
Okay, so there's Willow and E.T.
Because I think the wonder is gone. We've now seen Independence Day, and the world's been destroyed 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. So if there's an alien movie where an alien hides in the closet and cross-dresses.
You know how it works?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, that's why I actually don't like Stranger Things, because it's just like, hey, everything old is new again, and we're going to do a casserole.
Yeah, maybe the Haunted Mansion wouldn't work then.
No, I don't know how to answer it, because it never worked.
You can't follow the same...
E.T. worked.
Yeah. E.T. did
everything
work.
Everything from the 80s worked.
I think that's the thing, Spinari, is that you've got to have a movie that didn't work, and E.T. was a smash hit.
Oh, was it really?
No, it was huge.
Oh, crap.
Honestly, like, I think this movie will be terrible, but like, I would have pitched a Power Rangers movie. Granted, so this movie comes out
March. There is one coming out.
And it's going to be terrible, but I would have pitched something that like, hey, this is a surefire success, and you can make something great from this really... terrible TV show.
So you would try and redo a Power Rangers movie.
I probably would.
I love the Power Rangers.
I kind of like this idea.
Yeah.
Or like a Super Mario Brothers movie.
That was going to be my other vote. Or Spy Kids with the little thumb guys.
No, Spy Kids worked though.
You keep going back to hit movies. These are movies that didn't work.
I thought Spy Kids didn't work.
We can see his age range.
Yeah.
They have 5 Spy Kids movies.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I thought they had 2.
It was a huge franchise.
Oh, crap. Right. All right. Well, there's my age. But yeah, Super Mario, that was a terrible movie.
Right.
So
Bob Hoskins, the late but always great Mr. Bob Hoskins.
And John Leguizamo.
Two
Italian plumbers.
I don't know. Maybe a Zelda movie, but they didn't make a Zelda movie.
They would have if Super Mario Brothers did well. But they obviously did not.
Really bad.
Huh. Well,
no,
again,
this is good. I like the feedback.
Well, I wish we could spend some more time with this just because I know there's a bunch of movies. I know they are doing another Aliens movie. What?
Last Starfighter.
Now you're talking.
Although I like The Last Starfighter.
And it was a huge hit.
In fact, I would make The Last Starfighter a sequel 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I would continue off of that movie.
See, another one would be...
You've never seen this movie?
I have not seen this movie.
Night of the Comet would be another good one.
Oh my gosh, that movie's great.
That would be a great movie.
Wait, would you remake it or would you sequelize it?
No, I would probably do a complete reboot of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I would use two teenage girls in the lead roles again. I don't know if I'd do that, but the concept of Night of the Comet was really cool.
Right.
The idea was that a comet passed too close to Earth and wiped out all of humanity except for a couple of people.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And the people were like mutants, and it was kind of like Road Warrior, but it was in the city.
It's just a comedy.
It was a comedy?
It was a comedy and not a comedy.
It was a comedy.
Well, you were too... Yeah, you're too young. I saw it when it was new. And I was like 12.
Okay.
You know, or 10 or something like that.
This and it was just like,
oh, I'm bad. I have a very important TV show. Night of the Comet. So anyway, that would be another good one to remake.
Okay.
I would love some more ideas because I just, you know, again, the whole idea is that the movie did not reach its potential.
Okay.
It had potential to be a good movie, but wasn't. I mean, there's a ton of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Willow is at the top of my list.
Oh man, it makes me sad.
Well, but I mean, I hear where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
It could have been the next Star Wars and wasn't. And now with Lord of the Rings gone, there isn't anything in the fantasy genre. I'm seriously considering trying to write a treatment and pitch this.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I would love to see fantasy back on screen again.
I think people miss it.
Yeah,
I think people are ready. I think they're burned out on superheroes. I have some contacts at Disney, and so maybe I can go pitch them and see what they think. And then they'll do what Disney always does. Hey, that's a great idea, but we're going to pass on it at this time. And then a year later, you see it in the theaters.
Right.
So, all right.
I'm trying to think of other ones.
Movies you'd like to remake?
Yeah, but all mine are like movies that I thought were really crappy, but I loved.
For example, you can't think of one?
No, it's like Spy Kids. And like, I would like to see...
That was a huge movie.
For me, like, it's more cartoons, though, that I watched as a kid. So like Samurai Jack. Or stuff like that. I would love to see that like big picture because a lot of people hated that show, and I loved that show. And it's just, I don't know. I'm too young. I think.
Yeah, you're probably too young. He's probably a little bit too young.
Crap.
You didn't really have a good one either.
What? What?
I mean, you kind of.
Yeah,
did.
Power Rangers is kind of weak.
It was kind of weak. do you have any? Do you have any movies to review? Do you?
No,
have
it's just the latest Sundance one. I do want to talk about some movie news. I know we've been talking about movies, but there are some really. Bummer of a news out right now where Ben Affleck said he's no longer directing the Batman.
Whoa.
What?
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, this is as of yesterday.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And it's incredibly disappointing. I mean, obviously I'm a big DC fan.
Yeah.
Big Batman fan and everything. And he, you know, they've been announcing some good news and some great casting decisions lately in the other movies. Honestly, the most surefire movie they have going right now, beyond the two that are finished,
right,
is Aquaman. Like, Aquaman is, like, steaming right through.
Yeah, but I gotta tell you, man, I'm watching that, you know, Morgan Hayes has got me watching that Frontier
yeah.
show on Netflix. And I feel bad because Morgan, he's really digging it. But that guy sucks.
Jason Momoa?
He's a terrible actor.
Take it easy.
I know Morgan's got the man love for him. He's got a man crush going on.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, that guy can't act.
That's Khal Drogo. What are you talking about?
No, he can't act.
He was good in that role, but in this role?
He's really not... good at having kind of a, you know, that thousand-yard stare and looking pissed off and not really saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Stallone or Schwarzenegger or any of those guys have built an empire on doing that. He's really good at that, but anything that requires him to actually speak or say something, that's a certified no.
Well, maybe they won't have him speak. They'll be okay. It's the guy who can talk to fish, except for he doesn't talk.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Wait, what's that noise? Is that someone underwater? Can you do that again?
That's the aqua signal.
Yeah, right. He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, when he controls fish. Yep.
He doesn't have to talk.
All the great white sharks, you know, come to his aid at that point.
Uh-huh. And then he would speak whale. So he'd see a whale.
Sorry, can we hear the...
It's a little higher.
Why did it go higher?
It's a little higher pitch. What have I done?
You know, we have a Spinari gobble over here.
Yep.
Hashtag Spinari gobble. Okay,
I'm
so
dying over here.
So back to the sad news with the Batman.
Yes.
Ben Affleck has actually been really honest this whole way through, where, you know, a month ago he said, because he was promoting Live by Night, and the only question that the press was asking him was, hey, what about the Batman?
What about Batman?
Tell us about Batman.
And Live by Night tanked. Warner Brothers lost $75 million so far.
Yeah, which isn't bad compared to Sony's loss of $1 billion last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's how much they lost last year?
That hurts.
Are you kidding?
Ghostbusters. Anyways, what was I saying?
That what did it?
Yeah.
So he said, hey, I need to make the script great for this movie. And if it's not great, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and I'm busy. And, you know, basically, I think it was the hardest challenge ever for this guy who's already been in a mixed review movie like Batman v Superman.
Which is really too bad, because that is my favorite superhero movie.
And then
it's
really good. Then he got a ding with Live by Night, and then everyone's like, hey, Ben Affleck, save the DC movie universe. It's on you, because we don't like Zack Snyder, so do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Direct it, write it, and star in it, and make it different from any other Batman we've seen.
That's a lot of pressure.
And so he came out with a statement 2 days ago where he said, hey, look, I'm going to find a partner to make this with me. I want a director that will help me make this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because he basically said, I am committed to acting in it. I'm committed to writing in it. But the thing is,
I can't direct it.
I can't direct it because I need to focus on my performance, because Batman means that much to so many people.
Yeah. Matt Damon. Should get Matt Damon
to direct it.
Yeah,
people,
I'm totally lying. I'm totally lying.
No, and so it's a real bummer for me, because this is an Oscar nominated or Oscar winner of a director, and I wanted to see his take.
He's also won an Oscar for writing.
I was going to ask.
Absolutely.
That, did he? Okay.
So yes. Is he going to still write it?
He is.
Okay. Well, then I think.
And
I think
this gives
okay.
him time to help, you know, write the movie instead of just basically storyboarding everything.
Uh huh.
And I hope that they find a director that can just step up and just jump into this, because this movie is slated to come out at the end of next summer, so 2018. I think it will be pushed at this point, which is fine. Honestly, push it, make it great, do what you need to do.
Take your time with it. You
take your
take
time.
Your time, yeah.
Rogue One
is a prime example of taking your time with something and making it awesome.
Yeah, before you ever need to do reshoots, get it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers, stay the hell out of the post-production.
Yep.
You know, make sure that people get their creative vision, because that could have been an issue too. He may have got so much flack at the beginning and so much pressure, and then WB's like, yeah, and we want final look. It's like, no, I'm making my movie.
Oh, no, he's not. Listen, that negotiation is like, look, we'll give you two revisions, Mr. Affleck, but we get final cut.
And for a director like him, who's had so much success with directing, it's got to be crazy.
He just lost $75 million.
Right.
And it doesn't matter who you are. You lose $75 million on your passion project.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get final cut again. You don't. You just, that just doesn't happen. And it doesn't matter who you are. You could be Martin Scorsese. And if you lose $75 million, you lose final cut on your next 10 pictures. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
But it's, you know, you can see what directing these kind of tentpole movies will do. Joss Whedon did two Avengers movies. And at the end of the second one, his press tour was a nightmare. He's like, I hate this. I'm quitting Hollywood. I'm quitting Twitter. Everyone hates me. I hate this whole process.
Yep.
And, you know, every other director, like, It's got to be stressful. It's just a bummer for me as a fan to not be able to see his movie.
Because, and one of the problems that you have with directing is that this is when you're an actor, you show up, you go to your wardrobe fittings, you go to the table read, you go to your trailer, you read some lines, they shoot you out, you take off your makeup, and you go home.
Right.
That's it. And then you show up a year later to do press.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how being an actor works. And it's awesome. I've done that. I've also been an executive producer, and an executive producer has to be with that project for years, and the director has to be with that project for even longer in some cases.
And that's the thing. He was executive producer, so, director, writer, star.
Yeah, no. And I totally understand where he's coming from, because you have to be so involved. It really consumes your entire life.
Really, the game now is predicting who the next director will be and hoping that it's someone that can match this. And I really think that the Batman will be a small story, a small just... vendetta story, hopefully with the Bat family involved.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are saying Denis Villeneuve, who did Arrival and Prisoners and Sicario last year.
Sicario was amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people
are raving about Arrival.
Matt Reeves is on the top of the short list. He did the Planet of the Apes movies and Cloverfield. I think he'd be great.
Cloverfield Lane was great. I wasn't a Cloverfield fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I really hope they get a director that can almost match Affleck's pace. Because I want it to be a stylish movie. A lot of people are saying George Miller, Mad Max Fury Road, should do it. And I'm like, hold on. It can't be a straight-up action movie, but we'll see.
I think that's
got style.
Yeah.
I think all those choices would probably work. They'd all probably work.
Yeah.
What about Brett Ratner?
No.
Let's get Brett Ratner.
Dude.
Or maybe J.J. Abrams.
No. You know people would flip.
Yes. Really? Yeah, because people are dumb.
Actually,
J.J. Abrams isn't a good director.
People are dumb.
Yep.
Brett Ratner, by the way, he did a good movie. I was thinking about how the directors I give crap to all the time.
He's a really good guy, actually.
And he probably is. But Red Dragon. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It's awesome.
And so he does a good movie every once in a while.
Yeah.
Look at me trying to be all positive.
No, this is a guy I know personally, and it's hard for even me to go, yeah, man, he's good.
Right.
Because not
so he much. Does his job. He knows what his job is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Popcorn movies make a lot of money in the summer.
Right.
That's it. So
I'll give you updates.
Please do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff to know. I still think that's not a bad thing. I mean, it's great, but...
It's only a bad thing if you're like me, and instead of politics... The flame wars I've been seeing on Twitter, because I don't follow a lot of politics stuff, or I just choose not to, are all the effing movie bloggers who are like, we called this months ago, Affleck's off, DC's in trouble. And I'm like,
geez, I'd rather follow politics.
Right? It's a little bit weird when people get on their high horse. They're like, yeah, Marvel for life, DC sucks. I'm like, okay, what's your stake in this?
Who are these people?
Oh my gosh, I'll give you
names. Everybody knows that Marvel sucks.
Well.
And DC's way better.
It's a fair amount of our audiences, you know. And they have a solid case.
No.
Sometimes.
Hey, look, I love Wile E. Coyote cartoons. And when I want to watch a Wile E. Coyote cartoon, I'll go watch a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Right.
I won't call it Thor or Avengers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Ant-Man.
Or Suicide Squad. Just putting that out there.
I think I just peed a little. I don't want to. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Do you have a movie to review?
No, the movie this week is not being screened. It's Rings. So this is The Ring 3.
Yeah.
And so I will be seeing this the night before, but that's about it.
I think it'll probably be huge. I think it'll do very well because it's a new generation of people that don't remember the old ones.
This month is a great month for scary movies. Split was number one for 2 weeks in a row.
I really want to go see this.
So do I.
I would love to see it with you guys.
Yeah? Right.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Rings is this next week, and then the next week is a Gore Verbinski horror film called A Cure for Wellness, which looks terrifying.
Gore Verbinski's a really nice guy, really good director.
Mm-hmm. You met him at the Pirates.
Pirates, yeah, the Pirates 2 premiere. I met him and got to speak with him for a little while. I obviously, it's not like we're chummy. I don't know him well, but I did get to talk to him for a little while. And very nice, very down-to-earth guy. And extremely talented. In fact, I think he's probably underrated.
Right. Well, it's
especially he's got a name like Gore Verbinski. I mean, how cool is that?
I know. It's because he's attached himself to Pirates, and those did decline, obviously, in terms of quality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
All right.
So there's some good movies coming out this month. It's just It's taken a while, and obviously nothing has come out because of Sundance. And so basically nothing has come out. A Dog's Purpose. No thanks.
Yeah.
I've heard that's actually pretty good.
I don't like dogs.
Really?
It'd be a movie about a dog dying several times. I'd be like, cool.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty powerful. Huh. That's what I've
Did
heard.
Did I just... Am I cheering on the death of animals in the show?
It starts with animals, and then you move up to people.
What am I, a child? I'm burning just, ants? What's going on?
So,
that's it from my side.
That's pretty much the show for this week. Okay. So, hey, a lot of other great shows for you guys to check out. There's we've got a new business one called The Well Standard, which we were just talking about. We've got Ticked. We've got Life on the Rocks, Please.
So Big.
Greg's Guide to New Music. Wisps. Addict to Athlete. Park we never hoppers. Talk Park about hoppers. Coach Blue.
Oh, my gosh.
Coach Blue is an amazing person. And an amazing podcast that's helping out a lot of people. Yeah. We're very grateful to Coach Blue for being on this network. And we don't mention him enough, and we should. Mm-hmm. Are we prepared yet? There's a lot of great shows. Level 22 and our good friend Matt Smith. Yep. So,
and Bash Music,
of course,
as always.
Which will be back next week. Yep. So thanks again, all of you, for checking us out. Please spread the word. We want to be able to keep this going forever.
Right.
And, you know, if you would like to advertise...
What's up?
Give us money. So, yeah, anyway, thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great rest of your week, and as always, peace.
This is the Radio Ronin Show on podbash.com.